In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A man reaps what he sows, so your priorities are important. If you love money, that is, if you work to make money, then you have another God. The first commandment is the issue. The first commandment is always the issue, for we always want to replace the true God with someone else. We Christians pat ourselves on the back because we show up at the right place and we call ourselves the right name, Christian. And yet the first commandment is still the issue. Our hearts are not as pure as they need be. It's funny to think of an eagle sitting on a tractor. It's funny to think of lilies with needle and thread, embarrassed of the way they look. God did not create them to do that. He created them to soar high above and to just be beautiful. Neither has He created you to worry. We should fear, love, and trust in Him above all things, and worry deprives us of that great honor. Worry is a first commandment issue. Just as it's ridiculous for a bird to farm, so it's also ridiculous that you should lose sleep over the price of gas or food or the war in Ukraine or really anything else in this life. It's ridiculous. God has created you for far better things than that. It's silly for a parent to be stressed out over dinner. It's foolish for a child to stare into the closet and to exclaim, "I have nothing to wear." Even more foolish when an adult does that. And yet we do such things. Grown men act like they can control the weather. Grown women act as if their kids' lives depended solely on them. This is the first commandment issue. Why do you not love God above all things? Has He failed you in some way? Has He refused to prove His love to you by sending His Son to die for you? Yes, He raises your kids through you, but He does not need you. Yes, He feeds you through the economy, but He does not need that either. Just before the account of Elijah being fed with miraculous flour and oil, ravens were bringing bread to Him every single day. If God wants you to be alive, you will be alive, even if the ravens need to bring you food. And yet we trust in ourselves, because we know that God works through us, and our sinful flesh takes that and runs with it. That we are now vital to the way that this world works. Without our work, the world cannot function in the same way. Yet it's laughable. Birds could bring you food. Someone else could take care of your kids. Someone else could fill your bank account. But God, yes, has chosen you. That doesn't mean He needs you. He uses you, but only for a time. A day will come when once more someone else will take care of you, when someone else will do the chores and someone else will cook the meals and make the money. And that day may come sooner than we think. Money cannot satisfy any more than a canary can swing a sickle. Retirement cannot bring you peace any more than a lily can knit a beautiful robe. So why do we worry? Why are we anxious about such things? I fear it's because we are too earthly minded. We think life depends on us, which is just another way of saying, like Adam, we want to be God. Look at your prayers, for example. How many of them are about worldly things? We pray for peace, for health, for safety, security, for good government, good weather, and the like. We pray for our kids that they would find a faithful spouse, faithful not only to them, but faithful to the Word of God. We pray that they may have some success or at least stability in their life. We pray for the health of our neighbors and our friends. And these are all good and right things to pray. We must pray about such things. However, you must also understand that they comprise only one of the seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. So why would they dominate our prayers? How often have we prayed for the Holy Spirit? for peace, for patience, for kindness. How often have we prayed for deliverance from the devil, for safety from demons, for strength to overcome the impulses of our fallen flesh that wants to worry and wants to fall into temptation? How often do we pray that God would grant us his forgiveness and that we in turn would extend the same forgiveness to others? How often do we pray that God's will would be done on this earth, whatever that may be, and that we would have the strength and the faith to accept whatever that will is? How often do we pray that God would grant us a blessed death? Not a peaceful death in our sleep, but a blessed death, even if it is in the Colosseum or on a stake being burned. Those things are often more far from our minds, though they make up 6 of the 7 petitions. So we concern ourselves with the little things, we major in minors because, well, and then we let these minors ruin our day. We don't know what to wear. We don't know what to eat. We don't know how to spend our money or how to work to make money. We don't even know why we are getting up and doing these things day after day. We need to grow up and to leave those elementary things, not behind, but in their proper place, and recognize what our great danger truly is. So perhaps the reason we don't pray for deliverance against the devil is because we think that he is not as great of a threat to us as inflation or financial strain or whatever else, or health or cancer. We love what we can see, and Satan has somehow convinced us that he is some fairy tale pitchfork gremlin running around causing mischief, when in reality, he is a mighty fallen angel bent on our eternal destruction. And he will use whatever he can get his hands on to lead us away. And he knows that we love money. One of the greatest gifts God has given to us is money. And so the devil uses that. And really, all of God's blessings, we could substitute family or health or whatever else you want, the devil uses that. Because he just needs to bump it up 1 or 2 notches so it supplants the first commandment. And so the devil takes the promotion or the raise that we just got, and he wants us to now feel like we are secure. Now we have finally made it in life. Now we finally have enough for retirement. Never mind that now perhaps I must move to a location that doesn't have a faithful congregation, or now I'm so busy I don't have time to pray with my family. But we take that promotion because we love money more than God. And we fear not being able to retire more than we fear hell. And we trust in our work, not in God's providence. We make decisions based on what is best for the here and now, rather than what is best for eternal life. And this is why year after year, probably even week after week, for you know this lesson all too well, God says, do not worry. You are not created for this type of life, to be running around frantic as if life depended on you. Not only does he tell you what not to do, but he also does tell you what to do. The birds were not created to farm, they were created to soar. The lilies were not created to knit in a factory, but they were created simply to be beautiful. You were not created to worry, but you were created to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to have the proper priorities, the proper order of things. Doesn't mean you neglect your daily life, but it means that you recognize what your true adversary is and what your true work is. How often does Jesus start off his parables with something like this? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who did something that you would never think of doing because God's ways are far different than our ways. The kingdom of heaven is not a bird, a fish, or a flower. The kingdom of heaven is a man. Because in God's kingdom, God became man. So to seek the kingdom of heaven is to seek the man who did not worry about bread, though it was withheld from him for 40 days as he sat in that wilderness. The man who was not concerned about his garments, though they were divided among the soldiers and his tunic gambled for. The man who earned a righteousness that you could not, who loved God above even his own life. Never did he worry, never was he anxious about where the next meal would come from, though he himself didn't even know where he would sleep that night. Never was he stressed about the political situation, though his was far more of a powder keg than ours. Never was he anxious about what would happen to him tomorrow. For he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, whether good or bad. He knew that God was his God and would provide. And this man paid a bloody price for your idolatrous worry. So seek first him. Seek first his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. God will not forget about them. In other words, give your attention to Jesus, and you will have all that you need. It's a logical question. What shall we wear? We have to wear something. But what could be more beautiful than the blood of Christ? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you have this, then does it really matter if your clothes are out of date? Does it really matter if others like what you are wearing or not? Does it really matter how you look in your clothes? What shall we wear? Jesus says, I will feed you the bread from heaven so that you will never go hungry again. Who can worry about food when Christ has told us, take and eat? And if what he gives you is his entire self, his righteousness, his kingdom, his forgiveness, his love, then what better meal could there be? So Jesus has set you free from worrying about the mundane things of this life, the important things of this life even, so that you might devote yourselves to him and his word. So maybe you do turn down that promotion. Maybe you stop being embarrassed about your out-of-date kitchen and you give thanks to God for what he has given. Maybe, just maybe, you don't work to make money so that you can buy that new item you've always wanted. But maybe, just maybe, you begin to see your work as a service you give to others rather than what you can get out of it. Maybe, just maybe, we start living and imitating God, being in his image and his likeness instead of living after our own fallen flesh. For you see, seeking the kingdom of God doesn't mean that you just sit around and read the Bible all day. But it means that you live as one who is in his kingdom as well. You live as the man, for you are part of his flesh. For this you were created, to love as God loves, to give as God gives, to be content as God himself was content on this earth. For he has sacrificed himself for you, so that you might never have to worry about tomorrow. Birds were not created to farm, lilies were not created to work in a factory, and you were not created to worry. You are set free, free to be in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.